It's time for the Phenology Show, and phenology is the rhythmic biological nature of events as they relate to climate. And we are in the peak of spring ephemerals. This is the time of year to get out and look at the flowers. Most of these flowers are very short-lived. They get their flowering done before the canopy closes in overhead. And if you're looking around you here in the Grand Rapids area, you can see that the canopy is rapidly closing in. The aspens that began to leaf out on the first of the month are now probably half of the total leaf area that they're going to achieve during the summer. So they are blocking out half of the sunlight that they will eventually block out. Among the ephemerals that are blooming right now, wood anemone, also called windflower. That's that little white flower. If you look, you'll see that it has a whorl of three leaves and then a stalk that comes up above that whorl, and that stalk will have a single white flower at the top. That's a windflower or wood anemone. Side reference, there are two or three other species of anemones that bloom here in northern Minnesota, and they all exhibit that same structure. That is, they have a whorl of leaves and then a stalk on which the flower is supported. Besides the wood anemone, you've got cornflower. Cornflower is one of the names for it. It is a large-flowered bellwort, a bright yellow flower about an inch or an inch and a quarter long that hangs down and has a, as I mentioned on the daily phenology report, they have a perfoliate leaf. That is, the stem appears to come through the leaf. The leaf appears to wrap itself entirely around the stem. And that one and its cousin, the Cecil-leaved bellwort or pale bellwort, both of them are blooming. One is bright yellow and the other is more like the color of cream. Their starflower is up but not blooming. The wild iris are coming up, just the blades now. There's no flowers yet on the wild iris, at least at my house. Remember, all phenology is local. If it's happening in my yard, that doesn't mean it's happening in your yard. It may have already happened in your yard, or it may have not yet happened in your yard, but will soon. So just remember, your phenology and my phenology may not agree entirely, but I am trying to put you on notice that it is a good time to get out and sort of start looking. The marsh marigolds, the cowslips, are just beginning to bloom, and you will pretty soon be seeing those things in the ditches, bright yellow flowers, succulent plant. I have many, many, many times told the children in my classes that that picking the marsh marigold is a fool's errand, because you could pick them and you could run as fast as you could to get to the house, and by the time you get to the house, they're going to be wilted. They are really dependent, I guess, on what must be an internal pressure. They always grow near water, so you have a lot of water in the system. You pick one, and man, they wilt like right in your hand, right in front of you. They're just droop. So enjoy them where they are. Leave them be, I guess, would be my advice. If you want to show them to your mom, bring your mom to them rather than them to your mom. Let's see, what other flowers have I been appreciating? Well, the red elderberry flowered this week, a shrub, little clusters, like baseball-sized clusters of white flowers. There's one right outside our studios here that I can look at, and there are many throughout the area that are beginning to bloom. All of these plants that I've mentioned are within 2 or 3 days of average. And despite the winter we had, which was one of the warmest on record, probably the warmest on record through the winter, we have not had any early events. We had a cold spell at the end of March, which put everything back on schedule. So those things that I would have predicted in early March as being earliest ever are falling right in exactly where we'd expect them. I think that the one shrub that has bloomed in the last couple of days that has just been wow, at least at this latitude here in the Grand Rapids area, is Juneberry. And Juneberry is one of those shrubs that it can be 12, 15 feet high. I've seen some even taller than that. Some might even approach 20 feet. But at this time, they are absolutely covered in white flowers. The thing about Juneberries is that they flower synchronously. So when your Juneberry decides it's going to flower, they all open in the same day. And that is kind of a unique feature of the Juneberry. The interesting sidelight to that is that they fruit asynchronously, so that when, even though they are all blooming on the same day, and they probably all get pollinated within 24 hours of each other, the fruits develop one here, one there, one over there. There might be 1,000 fruits on a plant, and in any given day, 25 of them might be ripe. And that'll go on for a week or two while they all get ripe. Interestingly, the first berries have more seeds, smaller seeds, but more of them than the later berries. So the longer it takes the plant to actually get that fruit, the more they are sort of like, okay, I've thrown my best shot at it, and now I'm getting down to the very end, and I'm going to put out a big healthy seed, but only a couple of them per fruit. So interesting thing about Juneberry, and easy to spot right now. They're blooming just about everywhere, at least in the Grand Rapids area. The other shrub that looks a lot like a Juneberry that is blooming right now is Canada plum. There's an American plum that is very similar to Canada plum, but here in Itasca County, we only have, or according to the experts, Canada plum is the plum that's found in Itasca County. Canada plum, or the plums, the American and Canada plums, they flower in great quantities as well, but the plums always grow in clumps, sometimes in complete hedges. So you'll have like 40 or 50 stems coming up in a tight group that will be plums. Juneberries don't tend to do that. Juneberries tend to be 2, maybe 3 or 4 stems, and then, you know, 100 feet away or 75 feet away, another one with 2 or 3 or 4 stems. If you have Canada plums, you know, that 100 feet would be just filled in with Canada plums. So that'll sort of tell you the difference. Yeah, so lots of that going on. The interesting thing for me right now, one of the interesting things for me, is the color that I'm seeing. So the red oaks are just beginning to break bud here. And when they break bud, the new leaves and the male catkins, the male flowers, have a little bit of a reddish tinge to them. So as you're driving along, you're going to see these big, dark, dark gray trees that have this sort of reddish green cast to them. Another tree that has a lot of color right now are the birches. The birches are done flowering. They reached their peak of flower this past week. And now you have these 3, maybe 4-inch long catkins that are kind of yellow green, a bit more chartreuse than the leaves, which are beginning to come out, but not yet really developed. And if you stand back and sort of look at a forest, you'll be able to pick out those yellow green birches that are standing out from the others. Sugar maples are kind of at the end of their flowering, and they're starting to look more green, but for a week or so from the 4th of May, coming forward, the sugar maples have been sort of that chartreuse color, like the birch. They've been yellow green and pretty easy to spot, but they are gradually fading into just ordinary green now as the flowers fall off of the trees. Speaking of flowers, yesterday I found my first trembling aspen flowers that were open. So the trembling aspen have these green seed pods on them, seed capsules. You've got this catkin that's about 2 or 3 inches long, and if you find one laying on the ground, you'll see that it is composed of maybe 75 to 100 of these swollen green capsules. And each of those little capsules is filled with seeds and fluff. And what can happen, some years those little capsules will rupture and the fluff will come out and float around in the air. Other years, the capsules will not open and the seeds will simply be trapped inside and the catkins will fall to the ground. And you won't see much of anything going on there. So it just depends on the tree and the season. Yesterday, I did see a couple that were completely open and laying on the ground. I've also seen a number of catkins that are just laying on the ground and not open at all. The ferns are out in a big way. The interrupted fern, I haven't seen any sorry yet, any of the spore-producing parts on the interrupted fern, but they are up and unrolling. There are some completely unrolled fronds of the interrupted fern. The lady fern is in the same situation. Ostrich fern is just beginning to come up in the Grand Rapids area, and that's the one that's edible. Now, if you're curious about that, the interrupted fern is whitish green, kind of a pale sage green with lots of hairs on it. And the ostrich fern is hairless and deep green, very dark green. And it also has these little bronze-colored flaky skins that can come up and sometimes get trapped on the fiddlehead as it's coming up. But they are now up about 4 or 5. I saw some yesterday that might have been 12 inches. And those have if you look at the stem in cross-section, it's going to look like celery. It's got a deeply U-shaped stem. And those are the ones that you want to grab and eat. They're quite good. Let's see. Round-lobed hepatica at my house are doing just fine. They are going great guns. Taking a look at insects this week, I saw my first variegated meadowhawk dragonfly, smaller than the big darners that we're seeing around. The darners are migratory, so they just show up whenever they fly in. But the variegated meadowhawks come out of the water, and there are a few flying around. They're going to look gray, but if you get close or if you get a picture of them, you'll see that they are intricately laced with red, and they are quite beautiful when seen up close. I guess what I would recommend is take a picture. You see one sitting somewhere, get your camera out, get a picture, take a step toward it, take another picture, take another step, take another picture. I do the same thing with butterflies. I see them, I get them in my camera view, and I start taking pictures and taking steps. And as I creep in on it, it gets more nervous, and finally it's going to fly away. But until it does, I keep taking pictures and hopefully I'll get one that's good and sharp and I can take a good close look at it before it's gone. So interrupted fern, lady fern, sensitive fern, ostrich fern, all of those are up. The horsetails are up. The meadow and field horsetail are up. The fertile stems of the, I believe it's the field horsetail, they are up. And they don't look at all like the sterile stem. The sterile stem is green and has these little needle thin leaves. Think like pine needle kind of leaves. They're just long cylinders of green. They're up. The fertile part of those plants, the fertile part has this, it comes up kind of pinkish or flesh toned. And at the top, there's this half to three quarter inch long club-like structure that has the spores in it. And snapping those with my fingers, as soon as they are up, the spores are ready to come out. So they throw a lot of spores right away. Had a lot of birds come back this past week. The oriole, the hummingbird, the pine warbler, the Nashville warbler, the oven bird, the Phoebe is nesting in my garage. I mentioned earlier, a yellow-throated vireo, which I caught by listening on Merlin, and then once I identified it or had its song identified, I started looking for it and got a good look at it with my binoculars, which was a pretty thrilling moment. So that was kind of fun. Trailing arbutus is done flowering for the year. Starflower is just coming up to flower. Canada Mayflower, a really interesting case with the Canada Mayflower. It's a broad sort of lily-like leaf that comes up. If it's a single leaf, the plant will not flower. If there are double leaves, it will be in flower. But I noticed them one day this past week. I thought, oh, look, there's my first Canada Mayflower. And the next day, they were up everywhere. It was just like the word got out, and all of a sudden, there were these dozens and dozens. Everywhere I looked, I saw these leaves coming up of the Canada Mayflower. Watch for those. The large-leafed aster leaves are up and emerging, and so is sarsaparilla. So check those out as well. I saw a garter snake this past week and a red belly snake this past week as well, and that was pretty cool. The violets, the northern marsh violet, the little blue violet, and the wild white violet are both up and blooming, and I haven't seen them yet, but others have told me that the yellow dog violet is blooming in the woods, so check out the violets. Those, like the trilliums and like the bloodroots, those plants have a little bit of oil on their seed, and so the ants will pick up those seeds and move them about. It's a pretty cool thing. Yellow birch is in flower right now. I'm knocking pollen out of the yellow birch, so that's a pretty cool thing. I wanted to finish today with a plant that has attracted my attention over many, many years. I have watched this plant develop. It's a plant of harsh, sandy soils in dry areas. It's a plant called sweet fern. It's not a fern. It's a woody plant that grows in these sandy, barren areas, especially areas where there's no overstory. It doesn't grow in the shade very well. Belongs to the bayberry group. It is called Comptonia peregrina. And peregrina means traveling. And Comptonia comes from some friend of Carl Linnaeus, a guy named Henry Compton, who was the Bishop of Oxford in England. And so his name got attached to the genus. It is the only plant in that genus. It's the only Comptonia in the world. So Comptonia peregrina is growing in the area right now. I posted a picture on Facebook this morning of the male flowers and a female flower. This plant has been a puzzle for me for a long time because the male flowers, I approached them. You can see them. If you have this plant growing near you, you're going to see it in, like I said, in open sandy areas, and it will look, right now it looks kind of rusty because the leaves are not out. And the rust is the reddish yellow male flower at the top of the plant. And I had walked by these and I gave them a snap with my finger and pollen flew out. And I thought, well, if pollen's flying, there's got to be a female flower. And all the pictures I've seen of the female flower is this bristly red structure. And I looked and looked and looked. I mean, this patch is like 50 feet long and 10 feet wide. And I was on my hands and knees crawling through there looking for these bright red flowers, and I did not find them. So finally, I went back to Welby Smith's book on trees and shrubs, and I looked up the sweet fern. And there, They talked about the location of the flower being right below that cluster of male flowers at the top, which makes the plant monoecious. That is, one plant, both flowers. So I went back and I looked at them, and sure enough, right below the male flowers, there's this tiny, like, oh, maybe a, not a quarter inch, probably like a bit more than a 16th of an inch. A little tiny stub that looks like it's got little scales on it, little white lines on it. And that is the female flower. And even though the plant is throwing pollen right now, that flower does not look that developed. It just kind of hanging in there. So if you're curious like me and you want to kind of check it out, look at the picture that I posted on Facebook. You'll see the male flowers there on the top. And if you look just below them, you'll see a tiny little structure down below those flowers that is the female flower. The plant itself is really quite interesting. If you get into a patch of it when the leaves are out, it has this wonderful aroma. And just looking on the internet a little bit, a couple of things came to mind. One, it's called a fern, but it is not, because it has this woody stem and persists after it starts in an area. But the leaf looks fern-like. It's not divided all the way down to the mid-vein, but it looks like a fern, the leaf does. And it has a very, very sweet smell. And you can, I have never tried this, but maybe this is the year, you can pick the leaves of the sweet fern, you can boil them, and then you can take that water, like boil them for 10 or 15 minutes, 15 or 20 minutes, and take the liquid that you get from that, a sort of a tea. And you can drink the tea if you want. But I have read that the tea, that liquid that you boiled away from the sweet fern, is good for poison ivy or bug bites, and that it smells really nice when you put it on. So that might be something I'll try out this summer. The other thing that I found really interesting about sweet fern is that it resists road salt. And since a lot of it grows in ditches along blacktopped roads, that's probably a good thing. It'll probably help sweet fern maintain its hold on our environment over the years to come. Big time of year. I've only just scratched the surface, but I've used up enough of your morning. Get outside. Enjoy the beautiful weather and enjoy the lovely flowers that are popping up everywhere right now.
Another great way to find more information about what you're seeing this spring is to sign up for the Season Watch newsletter.